of Proverbs and the fourth chapter. So turn there with me, if you would, please, in your Bibles today. Let's get started in the Word. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to start down in verse 20. Now the Word tells us here in Proverbs 4, verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all of their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Let's pray together. Father, we trust this morning that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding and teach us truth from the Word of God that will set us free. Thank you, Father, for the victory that belongs to your children in all things through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see it. May we yearn for it. May we press into it for the glory of your name. Amen and amen. So here we are on the brink of another new year. 2024 is just hours away. How many of you are making New Year's resolutions as we go into 2024? How many of you? Nobody's making New Year's resolutions? What is... Did you all just give up? Is that what the problem is here? Nobody's making... Holy moly. Okay. Well, normal people... Let me improvise. Normal people, as you go into a new year, there's something about the turning of that page of the calendar, isn't it? And it is, we call it a new year. It's just another day, guys. It's just another 24 hours, you know. And yet, because it is a new year on our calendar, we tend to look at it as an opportunity for change, to make a decision, to make things different, to make some resolutions. I'm going to be different in the coming year. We make resolutions about diet and exercise, don't we? We're gonna eat better. We're gonna live healthy. We're gonna be better in that area. Or maybe there's a project we're going to finish. Or maybe there's a habit we're going to quit in 2024, okay? All of these resolutions, maybe we make the decision that we're going to make a better effort to get along with that person that we have a hard time getting along with in life. You know, we're gonna be kinder. We're gonna make a decision. Instead of complaining so much, we're going to be grateful more in 2024. That's a good slogan, isn't it? Grateful more in 2024. Write that down, somebody. We'll copyright that before anybody else does. And okay, thank you. Very good. But we do. We make resolutions. Becky and I actually have a gym membership. Believe it or not, does it look like I have a gym membership? We have a gym membership. It comes with our Medicare. Actually, Medicare feels like. If you'll get out and exercise, you'll be healthier. We won't have to pay so many medical expenses, so we'll buy you a gym membership. And so that's what Medicare does. Years ago, we had a gym membership. I realized very quickly at the Y that the vast majority of the things that you do at the Y requires hands, and I'm not qualified. So I couldn't justify paying that kind of money for a gym membership. You know, they wouldn't give me a discount. I told them, look, I can't use 10% of what you've got here. Can't I get some kind of break on the price here? No, I'm sorry, Mr. Parrish, you got to pay. So anyway, I dropped a gym membership And most of my exercise is out walking. But it was interesting that in January, tried to go to the YMCA in January. There are three people for every machine in the Y in January. I mean, you just can't find a place to do any exercise in the building in January. Come around March, there's about one person for every machine that's in the YMCA. And so you don't have to wait quite as long. And then come about May, you can do pretty much what you want to when you go to the Y. Because as most of us do when we make resolutions and things like that, we tend to give up, quit, stop, whatever you want to call it, after about 4 or 5 months in. As Christians, a resolution that we tend to make as believers in the Lord, we make this resolution. In the new year, I'm going to be more intentional where prayer and Bible study is concerned in my life. And I'm going to be more committed to these things and walk more closely with the Lord. And that's the way we feel in January. And about March, we think, oh, I better catch up on my Bible reading. I've gotten a little bit behind. And about May, where the heck is my Bible anyway? Because we haven't seen it in so long. And we tend to do the same things spiritually as we do naturally, and we don't keep those resolutions, and we don't tend to win where those things are concerned. I think part of the problem is the reason we don't succeed in any of those things, naturally or spiritual, is because we put a law on ourselves. One of the biggest laws we put on ourselves as believers, we're going to read, here's what we say. I'm going to read the Bible all the way through in the new year. I'm going to read it from cover to cover. I'm going to read the whole Bible. And we start off good. After a couple of months, we're a few weeks behind. And then again, after about 4 or 5 months, there's no catching up. And we throw in the towel and we quit. I want us to gain a little different perspective on Bible study today and Bible reading today. Here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you this morning about being more intentional where reading your Bible is concerned. But what I want us to do in our Bible study this morning is I want God to create a hunger in us for the Word of God. A hunger. Now, most of you understand hunger. When you're hungry for something, you go after it. You search for it. You get it, you know, and you feed that hunger, right? And I really believe if God will create a hunger, if we can get a revelation, I believe if we can get a revelation of the real value and the significance and the power of God's Word, I believe we can create a hunger that will keep us tuned into the Word and hungry for more. Hungry for more of God's Word so that we can move forward, we can grow spiritually, we can grow in our faith. You know, we've just come out of Christmas and the angel Gabriel visited Mary, you remember, and told Mary about the fact that though she was a virgin, she was going to give birth, and he explained how it was all going to happen. And then he makes this comment, he says, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." Nothing shall be impossible with God. And a more direct translation of that phrase concerning the nothing that is impossible is this. More literally, it says, "No word of God is void of power of self-fulfillment." In other words, God's Word has so much power in it that when it is released, it will manifest whatever is spoken. When God speaks a word of healing, that word of healing brings healing to the person who needs it. When God spoke creation, creation happened. God's Word came to pass. It had power in and of itself to produce what was being said by the Father. So this is what we want to see about the Word of God as we study today. I just want to tell you, if we will really appreciate, if we will really understand the significance and the value and the power that is in the Word of God, I believe it will create a hunger in us that will bring us to the table where God wants to feed us His Word. I mean, if you know the Word is food, we'll talk about this in a little while. The Word is spiritual food for us. The Word is spiritual food. Just like we got to feed our natural man, we got to feed our spiritual man so that he'll grow strong and healthy as well. And the Word is spiritual food for us. And so we need to come to the table that the Lord has prepared for us. This is the table, guys. Here's the table right here that the Lord has prepared for every one of us. And we need to come and dine at the Lord's table. We need to come and partake of what the Lord has prepared for us in His Word. And so my prayer is that over the course of our Bible study, probably today and next week, we'll begin to see the Word of God in a different light. And I really believe if we can do that, if we can create that hunger, Bible study will go from being something that you have to do to something that you'll want to do and something that you'll desire to do. And see, when we get to that place, when it's not just something we have to do, but something that we want to do, then we're more apt to press into it and get it done. It's something how many of you know, we do what we want to do. Somebody better say amen to that, because it's true of all of us. We do what we want to do. We make excuses when we don't want to do something, but we do what we want to do, no matter what we have to do to get there. It's just who we are as human beings. That's what we do. And if we can get that into our heart, that understanding the power, the value, significance of the Word of God, that we can come to the Lord and feed on what God is providing for us. Bible study becomes not a chore, but a desire. So let's see what the Bible has to say this morning about the value and significance of the Word of God. And let's pray for the Lord to give us revelation today on these things, so that our lives are changed, so that our attitude about Bible study is changed, so that it becomes something that we desire, something that we press into, something that we seek out. Because I'm going to just tell you, brother and sister, the Word of God will change your life. If you will commit to the Word of God and feeding yourself on the Word of God, the Word of God will change your life. How many of you know you are what you eat? Just look around, folks. We are what we eat. Stop laughing at me. And if we eat fat, what does that guy say? If you eat fat, greasy food, you become a fat, greasy dude. And it's true. If we eat healthy, we'll be healthy, okay? And if we'll dine on the Word of God, then we will become the Word of God. How many of you understand that that's really our destiny as believers? Is to be more and more like Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And so as we feed on the Word of God, our lives are changed so that we become more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our destiny, and that's our desire today. Our text that we started with here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, these are the words of King Solomon. If you look back at Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1 in there, it'll tell us that the book of Proverbs is written by King Solomon. Now Solomon is the son of King David, and he took the throne after his father David passed away. And the Bible tells us that when he became the king of Israel, that God visited him very early in his reign. And God came to Solomon and he says this. He says, ask me for whatever you want and I'll do it for you. How would you like for God to come and tell you whatever you want? Just say the word and I'll do it for you. And Solomon says this. Solomon says, God, I'm just a child, was the way he referred to himself. He's a very young man. He says, I'm just a child, and I am in over my head as the king of Israel. You ever felt like you were in over your head on something? And so he said, I feel like I'm in over my head. And so here's what I want you to do for me, God. I want you to give me wisdom. I want you to give me an understanding heart and wisdom so that I will know how to rule over your people. God answers Solomon and he says, because you did not ask for something selfishly, like riches and treasures and things like that. God says, because you did not ask for something selfishly, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you asked for, but I'm also going to lavish riches upon you. How many of you know, by the way, that riches are not evil? Money is not evil. Our desire toward it, our attitude toward it, can often be evil. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's the attitude that makes it wrong. And God lavished riches. Solomon became probably one of the wealthiest people in the history of mankind. But he also became the wisest man in his generation. Wiser than 1 Kings chapter 4, 3 or 4, it tells us that Solomon was wiser than all men. And God answered his prayer and gave him what he wanted. And so Solomon is now writing this book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. All of these books are written by Solomon. They are called wisdom literature. And they are the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And now he is speaking it to his son. He writes it down so that generations can know the wisdom of God. Please hear this. The wisdom that Solomon is writing here is wisdom that Solomon got from God. So here's my point. The words that he is writing are not just Solomon's words. They're God's words. Okay? And so when Solomon is addressing his son, listen, this is not just Solomon addressing his son, but this is God addressing his sons and daughters. Listen to me. These words are God addressing you and me today. And he's going to tell us how to succeed, how to prosper in life. And look at what he says to do in these verses of scripture. He says in verse 20, my son, or you might say, if you're female, my daughter, or maybe an easier thing to do is just put your name right there in the first part of that verse. Verse 20, Ken, or maybe you have another name. Ken, give attention to my words. Look at what he says there. Give attention to my words. The second line. Oh, by the way, in a lot of Hebrew writing is written in what's called parallels. There'll be a line that says something, and then the next line will say virtually the same thing, maybe in a little bit different way, to give more understanding, more clarity, or to expound on it. So what he says here is in verse 20, he says, give attention to my words. Next line, incline your ear. Same thing as give attention to my sayings, to his words. Same thing there, okay? So the lines are saying essentially the same thing. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21, same thing. Watch this. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them. That's, do not let them. Do not let them depart. keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay? So again, the same idea. It amplifies the meaning of the truth that he's trying to deliver, the wisdom that he's trying to share. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, for they are life to those who find them and health for all their body. Look at it with me again, and here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that God is sharing with us today. He is telling us, he's telling you and me about the value, about the significance, and about the power of the Word of God. And he tells us in these verses of Scripture, give attention to it. Incline your ear. Don't let them depart from you. Keep them. Value my word. Listen to what God's saying. Value my word above all else. Understand its significance. Understand it is more valuable to you than anything else this world will ever share with you. Did you know, we'll read a verse probably next week that tells us that God exalts his word even to the place of his name. It is that important to God. It has that much significance and needs to have that kind of priority in our life. The word of God. Becky was talking about who has veto power in your life. Here it is, right here, brother and sister. Right here. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what you even think about it, this word should have veto power over every decision you and I make in our lives. We should make our decisions according to the word of God. Why? Look at it. Verse 22. Because the words of God bring life to those who find them and health to all of their body. This is the value. This is the significance. This is the importance of the Word of God. And we need to give it that kind of priority in our lives, to value the Word of God above all else. Give it attention. Put it first place in our life. And life and the highest quality comes to us when we order our lives according to the Word of God. Spirit, notice, spirit, soul, and body are all included in the blessing realm of the Word of God. For they are, verse 22 again, or I'm sorry, verse 21. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep the Word in the midst of your heart. And now look at verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. He says, feed the word of God into your heart and then guard it. Keep it. Don't let anything, anybody, any demon, don't let anything steal the word of God from your heart. Because from your heart is where life flows. And if the word is in your heart, then the word, then the life of the word is what will be flowing through you. The life of God will be flowing through you. But if you let the enemy steal the word from your heart, then the life of the enemy is what's going to be flowing through you. The sin, the corruption, the darkness, all of these other things which are the natural makeup of the heart that's not filled with the word. How many of you know that Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked and no man can even know his own heart? See, that's the natural heart. And that's why we need to fill our heart with the Word of God. Where our heart is naturally deceitful and wicked, we need to fill it with the Word of God that is light and truth and faith and victory and power. So that these are the things that are flowing from our heart. Fill our heart with the Word of God. Watch over your heart. Don't let the Word escape from your heart. Protect your heart at all costs and hold on to God's Word in your life. Look quickly at the third chapter of Proverbs. The first two verses say essentially do the same thing, but we'll expand just a little bit on the blessing that comes from putting the Word of God first place and above all else in our life. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. Solomon again writes, he says, Ken, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. How many of you could use some peace in your life these days? We order our lives according to the Word of God, and peace will be the result. Twice, I believe it's in the prophet Isaiah, twice he says, there is no rest, there is no peace for the wicked. And that's why we need to renew our minds and transform our lives by filling our hearts with the Word of God, with light and truth and righteousness, so that these are the things that are proceeding from our lives, so that we're living according to God and God's will for our lives. And we can avoid, listen, life is going to be full of trouble. You and I know that. We're going to experience a lot of bad things in this world. Jesus promised that. It's not one of the promises we generally claim, but it's a promise of the Bible. Life's going to be tough. But look, life is tough enough without us making stupid, selfish, sinful choices that just attract more trouble and difficulty in life. And we can avoid a whole lot of stuff that the enemy would try to bring against us if we would just choose to live according to God's Word and live according to truth and live according to righteousness and do what God says instead of what the world says. Pastor, I don't know what God says. Well, you got a lap full of it right there. That's what the Bible is. That's what God says right there. Just do what He says in that book. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. Look at what He says there in verse 1. Let your heart keep my commandments in chapter 3. Verse 2. Length of days, years of life, and peace will be added to you. This is the byproduct of living according to the Word of God. Life, strength, peace, health. All of these things can be blessings that come to us when we put the Word of God first place in our lives, value it above everything else and every other opinion of the world. This truth of living by God's Word and walking in victory as a result of that is a truth that's repeated in several places in the Bible. I want to just look at two of them, maybe three, with you this morning. If you look back over at the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Let's just go ahead and read the first two verses. This will introduce what we want to see here this morning. The book of Joshua begins this way, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, the Jordan River, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Let's just stop right there and see the introduction before we go any farther. Moses, the great man of God, greatest prophet in all of Israel, the prophet of God, has passed away. Okay? This is Moses, the miracle worker. Moses, the prophet. Moses, the preacher. Moses, the deliverer. Moses, the leader. Greatest prophet in the history of the nation of Israel. And he's passed away. And the nation of Israel has mourned the death of Moses. By the way, there's a good message in that for us in verse 2, where it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Look, they had mourned Moses for a season. But God says, now is the time to move forward. Just real quickly, grief is a very natural response to the loss of someone that we've loved, okay? Grief is a very natural response. And you can't, listen, there's no pattern that we follow necessarily where grief is concerned. We don't all grieve in the same way. We don't all grieve in the same period of time. And we can't put a law on everybody else or anybody else and tell them, well, you have to grieve this long and then you have to move on and then you have to do all kinds of things. No, listen, grief is natural. Grief is normal. The depth of your grief parallels the depth of your love for the one that you've lost. If you don't love them very, very much, you don't grieve them very long. But if you love them deeply and sincerely, you're going to grieve a long time. It's just reality. But here's the point I think that God wants us to see in these verses. Regardless of how long grief might take in any given situation, there is a time to move on. And we all need to move on. Again, nobody can tell you the time that's between you and God. But there is a time to move on. We would know that the people that we've loved and lost wouldn't want us living the rest of our lives in the past. They would want us to move on. And God wants us to move on. God wants us to experience all of the things that He's promised for us. What the enemy wants to do where grief is concerned is the enemy wants to get us into grief and get us bogged down in grief and get us stuck in a place of grief where we only live in the past and can never move forward to what God has for us in the future. And that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to use our past to rob us of our future. And we have to watch our hearts where that's concerned and where grief is concerned. There is a time to grieve, but there is a time. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. The time of mourning, the time of grieving is over. It's time for Israel to move forward. And brother and sister, it's time for us to move forward. It's time for us to move forward and see what God has for us in the future. And oh, by the way, how would you like to have to be the guy that follows Moses as the leader of Israel? Greatest of all time. The original goat, okay? He is the greatest of all time. And now Joshua's got to follow him. Are you kidding me? And so God gives him a pep talk in order to get him to encourage him. And notice what God says to him in verse 4 and 4 through 9. He talks about the promised land, the land that he's promised to Israel, and how he's going to give it to Israel through Joshua's leadership. Verse 4, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. By the way, Israel walked in that inheritance. Israel walked in the fullness of that inheritance. This book will tell you that exact thing at the end of this book, in Joshua. Joshua says all of the land that God promised to all of the ancestors of Israel, God gave it to them and they walked in it. They've experienced it. Read it in 1 Kings chapter 3, chapter 4. When it talks about Solomon's rule, it says Solomon reigned from the river Euphrates all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. All of that land that was promised, God fulfilled his promise and gave it to the children of Israel. Look at verse 5 now. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses. Dude, you're sweating because you're following Moses. And you think nobody can compete with that. And God says, please understand that Moses was who he was because I was with him. And I'm going to be with you in exactly the same way that I was with Moses. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Watch this. Now look at verses 7, 8, and 9. And look at the priority that God puts on the word of God. Look at what he says here to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. All the law. That's the word of God. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Don't let it leave your mouth. You be studying the word of God. You be studying the law of God. You study the word of God until it just runs out of your mouth. Okay? That's what he's saying. You get so full of the word. How many of you know you fill a bucket up and you keep pouring, and what you've been pouring in starts to pour out. And what he's saying here is you just keep filling yourself with the word of God until the word of God just runs out of you. That's where God wants us to be, guys. He wants us to have that kind of priority. He wants us to put the word of God as that kind of priority in our lives. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble to be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. Look at it. Look at what God is saying to Joshua. God is saying, Joshua, make the word of God, make my law your top priority. Put it above all else. Continue to feed your heart on it. Notice it says there in verse 8, you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate on the word of God day and night. To meditate means to think on it, to dwell on it, to roll it over in your mind. We use the phrase sometimes to chew on it. Yeah, I'm going to chew on that a little while. That's meditating the word of God. And that's what God wants us to do where the word is concerned. Did you know that there is nothing in the Bible anywhere that ever says memorize scripture? Doesn't say that. It says meditate scripture. Meditate scripture. I realize that sounds like splitting hair. It's the difference between the law and the spirit. It's the difference between just having something in your head or really having something in your heart. It's the difference between meditation and memorization. And God wants it in your heart. God wants it. Again, you are what you eat. And he wants us to chew on the word, so that we become what the word of God is saying. And he tells Joshua, meditate on that word. Chew on it. Talk it over with God. What does it mean, God? What are you saying here, God? What is your intent here, God? And let God open the truth of the word of God to us by his spirit. If you'll do this, if you'll put the word first place, if you'll put it above all else, feed your heart on the word of God, you'll find strength. You'll find courage. You'll find faith. You'll be fearless. You'll find prosperity. You will find success in everything God has called you to do. That, brother and sister, is the value and the significance and the power of the word of God. Let's confirm that. Look over at Psalm 1. I'm just trying to whet your appetite tonight. I'm just trying to give you, I'm just trying to make you hungry for the Word of God today. I just want you to see the value of it and understand what it is we're missing, what it is that we're missing out on when we don't commit ourselves to the reading of the Word of God. I think next week we're going to look at a lot of passages of scriptures from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I believe if I'm correct, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in your Bible, 164 verses. Virtually every verse glorifies the Word of God. And the writer of Psalm 119 in every verse talks about how much he loves God's Word. How much he loves God's commandment. There's something about our flesh that recoils at the word commandment, because we don't like anybody telling us what to do. But when we understand that what God commands us is, listen, when God commands us, He's telling us something for our own good, for our own success, for our own prosperity. If we can get that into our hearts and minds, then we realize this is good for us. And hopefully it gives us that desire to stay in the presence of the Lord, to read, study, search out, and meditate the Word of God. Look at Psalm 1. I'm almost done here. I'll have to stop here in a second. Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. This confirms what we've already talked about this morning from Proverbs and from Joshua. Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, whose delight? The blessed man, verse 1. His delight, his desire, his hunger, his passion is in the law of God, in the word of the Lord. The blessed man is the man whose heart hungers for the word of God. Look at what he says here. And in his law, he meditates. There it is again. He chews on the word constantly. He's just eating the word up. He's chewing on the scriptures. He's talking it over with God. He's meditating on it. He's finding out what the truth is and what the word of God has to say about truth. Look at verse 3. This man, this blessed man, this man who puts the word of God above all else, is like a tree, this translation says, a tree firmly planted. A tree firmly planted. When you build your life on the word of God, the storms of life won't blow you away. You're like a tree firmly planted. You got deep roots. You may rock back and forth a little bit, but it won't bowl you over. You will resist, you will stand firm, and you will come out on the other side victorious. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7. He said, the wise man builds his house upon the rock of the word of God. He's saying the same thing the psalmist is saying. Wisdom builds its life on the word of God. He's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. I can't think about streams of water from the Bible without thinking about the Holy Spirit. Streams in the desert, rivers of living waters, all references to the Holy Spirit. And it tells me that when I commit to the Word of God, I am planting myself next to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth of the Word of God to me so that, look at the next part, so that my life can become fruitful, which yields its fruit in its season. The fruit of the word begins to produce its fruit in my life, and I become more and more like God wants me to be because I've committed myself to the word of God. I'm feeding myself on the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is empowering that word in my life so that my life is becoming transformed and I'm becoming all that God wants me to be. Its leaf, verse 3, does not wither. What does that mean? Its leaf does not wither. Here's what it's referring to. Brother and sister, that's eternal life. That's eternal life. A leaf that doesn't wither. We got trees around here all the time. They're all barren out there now. Why? Because the seasons changed. The leaves withered. They all fell off and died. But the tree that holds on to its leaf continually, it's alive forever. And so it's a reference to eternal life. And then the end of it, and whatever he does, he prospers. That's victorious, overcoming, abundant life by putting the Word of God first place in your life. There's so much more I've got to say, and I'll share some other things with you next week. But look, my point is that you and I need to become intentional where the Word of God is concerned, in searching it out, in studying it, in meditating on it, chewing on it, digesting it, making it a part of our lives. And I truly believe that if we truly understand the value, the significance, the fruit that will come forth in our lives when we do this, the victory, the peace, the success, the quality of life that will come, that God will make hunger in our heart for the Word of God so that we can live the kind of life that God wants us to have. Now, I know I'm challenging you to make the Word of God your priority in 2024. And I know we've all been there before. January, we're hot after the Word. March, cooling off just a little bit. May, we can't find our Bibles anymore. I want to give you some strategy real quickly before we go this morning to change all that. And it's simply this. Don't put a law on yourself where reading the Bible is concerned, where Bible study is. If you can read through the Bible in a whole year, God bless you. I've done it a couple of times. I've failed a lot of times, to be honest with you. I've failed a lot of times. If you can do that, that's great. But look, the Bible is not a novel. It's not written as a novel, something to be read from beginning to end, cover to cover. It's not written as a novel, and it's not laid out as a novel. Your Bible is not in chronological order. Those books are not in chronological order. And the whole point is, you don't have to read the Bible from cover to cover for God to use the Word to change your life. My suggestion would be this. Rather than having, be it resolved, in 2024 I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. You're probably not. But let me tell you what you can do. You can read the book of Philippians from cover to cover because it's just four chapters. And it won't take you about 15 or 20 minutes. And you've read a whole book in the Bible. The book of Colossians is the same way. Just a short book. You don't have to know the whole rest of the Bible to understand the book of Colossians. You can glean from Colossians truth just by reading that one little four chapter book. Won't take you 15 minutes to do that. You can read from the Old Testament. You can read books like Ruth from the Old Testament. Ruth is a beautiful love story. And you can read that little book, just four chapters. You can read that in about 15 or 20 minutes. But you know what? You don't even have to read one of those whole little books for God to minister to you out of the Word of God. You can open any of the Gospels and look at any of the stories that Jesus told or taught about or things that were told about him. And just take a chapter. Just take a half a chapter. Just take six or eight verses and read those verses and think about those verses over the course of the day. You take a lunch, you think about those verses you read in the morning. You come home in the evening, take a few minutes, just think about those verses. Brother and sister, it's not necessary for us to read through the whole Bible. Maybe eventually we'll get there, and that'll be great. But you don't have to do that to be spiritually fed and to become spiritually alive and to walk in the victory that God has for you. You just need to make a daily connection with God by reading a few verses from the Bible and meditating on those verses and talking over those things with God. And let God teach you from those few verses that you read that day. Wouldn't that be better? Than not reading anything at all? And if we just read a few verses a day and let God speak to us about those verses, we can begin to grow spiritually. Our hunger will begin to grow spiritually. We can take bigger bites. We can digest more. We can grow in our faith. But it's got to start with us understanding the value and the significance and the power of God's Word. It will make a difference. The idea, guys, the idea is not to get through the Bible. The idea is to get the Bible in you. Okay? That's the idea. That's the goal. And there are a lot of simple ways to do that that will keep us growing in the Lord, strong in our faith, walking in the will of God, succeeding in the things that God would tell us to do. Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know when to quit. We'll talk some more about this next week. And just... I want to pick up on this same idea and just pray that God makes us hungry for the Word of God in 2024 and watch the difference God's Word will make in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you chose men of old, women of old, to move upon them by your Holy Spirit, that they would write down the thoughts and the words of God, the wisdom of God, and they would pen books and letters, and you have saved them for generations for us, that we might know you through the knowledge of your word. My prayer today, Father, is that you would put a hunger in every one of us to know more and more about you and more about your word. And I thank you, Father, for all that you have in store for us. When we put the word of God first place, top priority, and above all else. Thank you, God. Amen and amen.